Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to do.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he can...
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said, if we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
As one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. You're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we are here tonight. I've got Lorianne with me. Hello, Lorianne.
Hello, hello. Happy Friday night to you.
Yep, this is one of the highlights of my week is my Friday nights.
Awesome, awesome. There's a worse thing doing on a Friday night than being here doing a radio show, right?
Yeah, well, there's other things I could be doing, but then again, I'd like to help try and help the country, and going out and enjoying myself doesn't really do that.
Exactly, or you know, going drunk, getting a bar fight, getting arrested, spending the weekend in the jail cell, you know.
Yeah, and in this town, I wouldn't want to do that because I'd be a lone conservative in a jail cell full of liberals.
Well, maybe you'd be able to educate them a little bit on their constitutional rights.
Yeah, unless they beat me up or something. That would be bad. What I was going to do tonight at the beginning of the show was play that clip that I got from my church. And I think I'd mentioned that to you. The guy's name is Pastor John Amanchukwu. Chukwu or something like that. He's was born in Nigeria. Yeah, he was born in Nigeria, and he is now a proud American. And it's 38 minutes long, and I'm not really sure if I should play it now or towards the end of the show. But in that, he says that he is a large black man who is not a victim, and he loves
nice.
America. And he thinks that America is the greatest nation this world has ever seen. We've got problems, and he names out the problems. He names them out as, you know, all these people who say that they have white guilt. He says that is so wrong. it's ridiculous. He says people with Black Lives Matter, he says it was started by three lesbians. He says, how can that be right?
And funded by Soros, of course.
And funded by Soros, uh-huh. And he goes through the whole gamut all the way into, if you are born a man, you will always be a man, that kind of thing. And I wasn't.
How dare he say such a thing?
I know. But it was. Now, I took the time to record that thing, and it's like 38 minutes long, but it... It's really, he really says things that, you know, if I think that we'd probably have a problem if Warren was here.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to call it the black liberal hive mind that they've been sucked into believing, you know, they've fallen for the hook, you know, the Black Lives Matter, the Soros, the, you know, white man is guilty, America is bad because of its history, and, you know, the people that keep this racial divide going, you know, I call it the liberal black hive mind. Because they just don't want to get out of it. They don't want to, you know, they kind of you gave a good example of it on another show, I think it was, where, you know, it's like like they're horses with blinders on, you know, and they will not see anything beyond what their blinders allow them to see. And and that's done for a reason, you know. They want to keep this racial divide going and the racial hate going. it's almost like it's become a part of their identity to the point where they will get so offended and so bent out of shape and so defensive because the racial hate narrative has become so much an integral part of their identity that they don't know who they are if they actually start to break free from it. And so I would say, if you're going to play the clip, go ahead and play it at the beginning of the show so that we can have time to talk about what this pastor says. We don't have to worry about running out of time or anything like that later.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because he actually says some really great things in that. And so I'll go ahead and play that, and then we can discuss it afterwards.
Joe is calling in.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You know, Joe isn't going to stick around for 38 minutes for a clip.
No.
Should we bring him on and say hi first before we play the clip?
Sure. Hello, Joe.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. So how
welcome.
You guys doing? Thank you. And, Lorianne's right. If you're playing a clip and it's longer than a few minutes, I'll come back another time.
Okay, well, it's 38 minutes, so as soon as I get done with it, call back.
Okay. Good luck.
I would imagine, call back in about 45 minutes, and then we can chit-chat and yap and catch up.
Okay, we'll see if I do that. All right. Talk to you guys. If I don't talk to you, enjoy your weekend. Bye-bye.
Oh, you too.
All
okay.
Right. Bye, Joe.
So I'll go ahead and play that clip now and see what the heck happens here. It should work.
All right. I'm ready to go. I have a slide, a graphic for you, where if you want to follow me and support the work that I'm doing, you can. You can follow me on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, at REVWU Truth. That is Rev Woo Truth. I am leading a movement across this nation. I'm going from school board to school board fighting the devil. And if you want to help me get to more school boards, then I might end up coming to New Mexico. And we're going to stand for Jesus, so you can support me there on my website. Come with me this morning to 1 Kings chapter 3, and we'll pick it up at verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 3, and I'll read from verse 16. It reads, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house." Don't try that at home. Problems. "And I was delivered of a child with her in the house, and it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger this day with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it." The baby smothered and died. "And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child sup, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said King Solomon, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. I'll settle this. Go find a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. Her heart cried out for her baby. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no way slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but cut the baby in half, divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, it's imperative today that we have leaders who are filled with judgment. Now, when you're finding cocaine in the White House, and you don't know where it came from, it's evident that we have leaders who don't have judgment. I think I have an inkling on who brought it in there, but we'll talk about that another day. Follow me on social media and I'll tell you. But it's important that we have wise leaders. And this these passages of scripture deal with a drama story. It's a soap opera. It's Young and the Restless. It's Bold and the Beautiful. Two women in one house. One baby dies and the other one lives. And the king now has to figure out what's what. We can call this story equality versus equity. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Equality versus equity. I would like to say this in the beginning, that it's rare that pastors preach from this book today. I don't know what they're preaching from, and that's indicative of the fact that many of our congregations have marginal Christians dominating it. Marginal Christians. Almost not Christians. Flimsy Christians. Fearful Christians. And the reason is because weak pulpits create weak Christians. If there is a mist in the pulpit, there will be a fog in the pew. If the preacher gets up here shaking in his boots, afraid to address cultural issues, afraid to call your wicked governor out, then you'll have a congregation of people who don't know what to say, don't know how to vote, don't know what to do. But I'm glad that we have preachers like Pastor Smotherman and his staff. I mean, my goodness. When I think about your legacy, Legacy Church, and your leadership, man, you make me want to fight. I just feel like doing 1,000 push-ups and being, you know, just being an alpha male. This church just makes you want to be manly. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's rare that you find leadership that's willing to address issues. I believe today that the trouble in the church that we're seeing is because leaders have abdicated their roles and responsibility. We should not allow the world to be more passionate about sin than we are about righteousness. We should not allow the world to be more passionate about going to hell than we are about being passionate on going to heaven. You must know this morning that one day God is going to call all of us home. It's Scripture says the dead in Christ shall be the first to rise, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But in order for us to get there as pilgrims, as strangers, as aliens down here, we have some work to do. There's a famous astronomer by the name of Sir Percival Lowell who believed that he saw human life on Mars. He believed it so that many of his comrades believed it as well. But over the process of time, they recognized that this Italian astronomer had it wrong. And so they set out to figure it out. They said, now how in the world could he be looking through his telescope and think that he saw life on Mars and really not see canals at all? They came up with two reasons. Number one, it was because as he looked through his telescope, he saw life on Mars simply because he wanted to see life on Mars. You know, you can be so entrenched in a lie, believing that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. Entrenched in a lie so much that you believe it to be true. You know, Oprah Winfrey told us that we should all tell our own truth. But at the end of the day, we don't have truth. God grants truth. We have a God that gave us absolute truth. And absolute truth can't come from sinful, carnal, and cantankerous man. We are not holy enough to be the arbiters of truth. That's why Christ had to come and die for our sins. It was determined by the determinate council before the world was formed, fashioned, and framed that a holy God would have to be inserted into a womb to die for our sins. And now today we have big wigs saying that you should speak your truth. Never use that rhetoric or that language. You don't have truth. The Bible says let God be true and every man a liar. So when man claims to have truth, you know you're listening to a liar. We have leaders today in this country who are bludgeoning us and causing us to accept and embrace things, but we're listening to habitual liars. Number two, they found out that Sir Percival Lowell got it wrong because as he looked through his telescope, he didn't see canals on Mars. He saw his own blood vessels. And his blood vessels through that telescope made him think there must be human life on Mars. And you know, we got to be careful because sometimes based upon our culture and upbringing, where we were born, what family we were born into, what kind of parents we had, what political party they supported, oftentimes we can believe things that are not true. There's some of us who see racism in everything. The first thing that happens, an officer kills a man. We don't look for facts. We're filled with emotion. We don't look for what happened. We jump to the narrative. And oftentimes the narrative leads us down a slippery slope of even producing what I call reverse racism. You know, there are a lot of people right now who are not too happy with Pastor John because I go to school boards preaching the truth of God's word and calling out perversion, calling out mutilators, calling out people who want to castrate our children, calling out these wicked liberal librarians who want to put gender confusion books on the shelves of our libraries. Calling out these race baiters and race hustlers who make money off of making, you know, minorities hate the majority, majority blacks versus white, Hispanics versus, you know, Spanish people or whatever it might be, making people hate Native Americans, Pacific Islanders and Asians versus Indians, all of this race baiting and racial tension and race hustling, that all of that stuff is intentional. There is a plan to divide the American people and this world. And listen, we are all made in the image of God. I'm off my script. We're all made in the image of God. And I don't care whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're Native American, whatever you are, your image isn't greater than my image. Clap your hands. Y'all don't get, don't. Come on, keep it coming, baby. Whiteness doesn't equal perfection. Nor does blackness equal corruption. God gave us our wonderful colors and our wonderful tapestry of melanin and pigmentation. And man, I wouldn't trade my blackness for anything. I wouldn't trade it because I'm made in the image of God. And God wanted me to be a 6'4", 260-pound black man in America preaching the gospel, and I'm not going to change that for anything. I'm comfortable in my skin. I'm off script, Pastor. And conversely, if a white person says the same thing that I'm saying, y'all should clap your hands too. Now, I don't have any white friends who suffer from white guilt. Because if you suffer from white guilt, that's one of the fastest ways to be deleted from my cell phone. This whole white guilt notion came to head after the death of George Floyd, which we all know the DIE business ballooned to $3.4 billion after the death of George Floyd. Can you imagine? Big money went into race baiting and race hustling. But I don't have any white friends that suffer from white guilt, because if you suffer from white guilt, if you feel bad because God made you white, then I should feel ashamed because God robbed me and made me black. But I don't feel ashamed. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm like James Brown. But here's the thing. I can't make a God out of my blackness. And what many people are seeking to do is to make a God out of pigmentation. There are even some who hate this book so much, these people are the enemies of the cross. Paul talked about these individuals. He even talked about it to the magnitude that tears began to come from his eyes as he considered the enemies who wanted to destroy the word of God. These enemies of the cross will tell you that when you serve and worship the God of Christianity, you are serving a white God. But let me tell you something today. You know, Jesus wasn't as white as Brett Favre. He wasn't as black as me. But at the end of the day, if he was magenta, turquoise, canary yellow, if he was blue, if he was purple, I would serve him. You want to know why? Because it wasn't his skin tone that saved me. It was his blood. Good God Almighty. I'm saved not by the pigmentation of Jesus. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. And consider that sacrifice that saved me. They put a crown of 72 thorns upon his head. They pierced him in his side, and out of his side came blood and water. They nailed his hands to a cross, and he hung his head and died. But guess what? They put his body in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And on the third day, what happened? He got up with all power. And hear me, that same presence, that same spirit indwells all of us, and all creeds have access to the Spirit of God. And we're going to allow race baiters, to have more authority than the sacrifice of Jesus upon our lives, that we believe the false narrative? Hear me. There are people who tell you that America is a racist nation. There are people who tell us that we should hate this country. There are people that tell you because, yeah, the past experiences of blacks and America was so bad that we went through slavery and we went through the Jim Crow era, so there's no good in America. Listen and take it from a black man whose father's from Nigeria. America is still the greatest country on the face of the planet. Yes, we have some issues. Yes, we've had some problems. But I would much rather be here than anywhere else in the world. People are fighting to get into this country by the droves because they want to experience the American dream. And that American dream is not wrapped up in money. It's not wrapped up in fame. What made this country great is the Judeo-Christian experience. This nation is founded upon the cross of Jesus. And they call me now a Christian nationalist because I believe that America was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles. Well, I'll be a Christian nationalist. I'll be a white supremacist. I'll be a white man. They call me a white man now. How am I doing? They tell me I'm a white man because the things that I say don't sound like a black man. Now, that's racist. So I have to sound like Lil Wayne and Jay-Z. I got to sound like an athlete. I got to sound like Michael Jordan or LeBron James with his woke self. I got to sound like an athlete in order for me, or something else, in order for me to have the values that I have. I have biblical values. And I don't get my talking points from the RNC or the DNC. I get my talking points from the Bible. And when I search the scriptures, I find virtues that come from a holy God. But my virtues and values don't have a skin tone. There's a video I want to show you briefly. It's of a school board meeting where I address some things. Roll the footage. 10 things that black students don't need. Number one, we don't need affirmative action. Number two, we don't need equity. Number three, we don't need to be pandered to. Number four, we don't need you to dumb down test scores in order for us to thrive. Number five, we don't need a school system promoting victim mentality. Number six, we don't need the soft bigotry of low expectations. Number seven, critical race theory or intersectionality. Number eight, we don't need reparations or any more welfare states. Number nine, we don't need to be propped up as the darlings of the LGBTQ community, as Dwayne Wade has done with his son, Zaire. Number 10, we don't need white liberals telling us that they know what's best for us, that we know what's best for ourselves. My name is John Owen Chukwu, and I approve that message. Now, what's wrong with what I said? To tell an audience that blacks don't need to be pandered to, what's wrong with that? What's wrong to say that we don't need a victim mentality? I'm not a victim. I'm too big and black to be a victim. What's wrong with saying that we don't need affirmative action today? Today, in 2023, are we not intellectual or intelligent enough to compete with other ethnic backgrounds and groups? Yes, we are. But the culture wants to tell you that we must stay stuck in the civil rights movement as a means of keeping minorities on the liberal plantation, but I'm on no one's plantation. I'm on my way to heaven. This is not plantation for me. I'm not serving master. Come on, somebody, give me an amen on the truth. I am a joint heir with Christ. Do you understand the magnitude of that? We are joint heirs. Christ is the first who rose from the dead of them that sleep. Put him in a grave, and he got up triumphantly with all power. And guess what? One day, we're all going to do the same thing, but I'm on my way to glory, so you can't demonize me. You can't label me. You can say anything you want about me, but I am chosen by the Master. And so I say to you who are in this country, Hispanic and Native American and black and white and Pacific Islander and others, Asian, Indian, whatever it is, get to know the God of the Bible and leave the equality and equity false narrative alone. But we know there's going to be a battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. When we consider 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, the text deals with the culture of the last days. It tells us that men will be lovers of their own selves. And then it goes on to give nearly 18 characteristics of the last days, one of which is false accusers. Now, when you translate the word false accuser in the Greek, you get the word diabolos. And what is a diabolos? A devil, a serpent. So where there is a false accusation, who are we listening to? The devil. Satan is the false accuser in the last days that's creating racial tension. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2, verse 11, for there is no respect of persons with God. God sees us all equally. You can be born in the most evil, corrupt family or side of town, but at the end of the day, Christ sees you equally. You can be born on a reservation. Christ sees you equally. You can be born in a family that did crime and corruption. They sold drugs. They were evil and dangerous people. They were villains, but Christ sees you equally. For there is no respect of persons with God. And if God is not a respect of a persons, then why should we be filled with prejudice and bias? And I want to say to you in here this morning, if bias and prejudice has entered into your heart, you need to ask God for forgiveness. Because you can go to hell with your prejudice and bias at the same time. God seeks to deliver us, to revive us, to rejuvenate us, and to redeem us. But the false accuser, BLM, false accuser, a group founded by three lesbians who had no desire for men, let alone black men. And so they convinced the American people to march the street shouting, no justice, no peace. And then as they would scream out people's names and, you know, George Floyd, Michael Brown, all of these names, really what they were doing is necromancy. which is a demonic, satanic cult worship style that invokes the presence and the spirit of a person as you call on their name. Names have power and influence. And so they would channel the spirit of George Floyd, which is why they went around creatively shouting, his name is called necromancy. Saul did that to Samuel when he went to dig up his spirit and to communicate to him through the witch of Endor. Went to her to find out some questions from Samuel. Saul did this, and Samuel did not like it and told him, man, the first thing I told you when you were rejected as king, those things are still true. It's necromancy. There is power in names. I'll prove it. Shout the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Do it again.
Jesus.
Do it one more time.
Jesus.
Don't you sense a presence? There's power in names. There's deliverance in names. But no name can deliver and set free and redeem like the name of
Jesus.
Why spend your time shouting no justice, no peace when you can scream
Jesus.
Why spend your time being lured into race baiting and race hustling when you can scream
Jesus.
Why spend your days being lied to and being told that you're a victim in America because I'm a black man? When Jesus has redeemed us all. Scripture tells us that the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. God looks out for all of us. Kamala Harris said that her viewpoint of equity was that we all end up at the same place. Now, how does that work? Family A works hard. Family B is lazy. How in the world is family B going to make it to where family A is? And shame on family B for teaching their children to be what? Lazy. Poverty is a mindset. Jesus said that the poor will be with you always. Why? Because poverty is a mindset. There are some people who will be born into poverty and die in poverty. Because it's a mindset. The government seeks to keep us what? Impoverished. And it worked a number on the black community when Lyndon B. Johnson came along and said that I will have these niggers voting for the Democrat Party for 200 years. What did he do? He incentivized the single-parent family. Gave a $400 check to moms. Dad goes out. Government becomes daddy. And now dad is gone from the home, and it destroyed the marriage rate in the black community. And the same thing is taking place in the white community, Hispanic communities, and across the board. We have incentivized the single-parent family plan. But God's first institution was what? Marriage. And the government seeks to exploit that. Barack Obama decorated the White House in rainbow colors after he redefined marriage. But listen, marriage can be perverted, but it can't be redefined. Two men standing at an altar is not a marriage. That's a mess. Two women standing at an altar, that's not a marriage, that's a mess. God only blesses his sacred institution. And while I'm at it, your governor loves to race bait. Loves to kill our own people too. Hasn't met an abortion bill that she doesn't like. Supports gender theory and all this transgenderism stuff. Supports all of the filth and all of the junk that's being pushed upon our kids. God forbid that a man can walk into a public school in a dress, fishnet stockings and some pumps, long fingernails, mascara, eyelashes, and a long wig. That's what you call cosmetic femininity. Listen, when God created Eve from the side of Adam, took out a rib from Adam, created and fashioned Eve, presented this wonderful being to Adam. Adam said, "Whoa, man." And she was naked. It doesn't take all the cosmetic things to make a woman a woman, but the big lie is that a man can be a woman, and that's just not true. There's a false idol in the land called D-I-E. I call it D-I-E. Some call it D-E-I. It's diversity, inclusion, and equity. If you don't bow to this false idol, they will label you, tarnish you, and call you all kinds of evil names. They tell me I'm a white man and I can't be married to a black woman because of the things that I believe. Who cares? And that's condescending at the end of the day towards black women to say that. Why can't black women be married to men who have sense, who believe in accountability and work ethic, not living off of the government? Hello. Is that not a value that minorities can espouse to? Yes, it is. But they want to trick us and lie to us and push this D-I-E stuff on us. Diversity. There we go, diversity. Like, would you shut up? Inclusion. Equity. All of these things are being forced upon us, and guess what? There are many denominations that have brought this stuff in. Southern Baptist Convention. Trouble. They bow to the woke altar. The Methodist Church. Trouble. The denomination I'm a part of. We're fighting, but my God, there's some trouble. It's a terrible thing when the majority of a community votes one way, but that party they support seeks to kill them. Who empowers the person that seeks to kill you? You have to be out of your mind to support a political party that wants to destroy a baby in the womb. I said it. I offer no apology. You have to be out of your mind to do that. It's evil, it's corruption. And so we need wise leaders. Solomon had a challenge. Two women, one house, same occupation, they were harlots. But one killed their baby, one baby lived, and they had to figure out what to do. Solomon says, "All right, I know what I'll do. Get a sword." They went and fetched the sword. He picked up the sword and got ready to slay the baby and cut the baby in half. And the real mama shouted out and said, "Oh, don't kill my baby." A real mother loves her child and won't allow any harm or danger to come to it. And so the evil mother said, "I killed the baby anyhow, divided, so that neither one of us could have the baby." And Solomon said, "You know what? I know who the real mother is." Both moms started off as harlots in the beginning of this text, but the real mother ends off being labeled simply as a mother. Look at the glory of God. I say to you today, church, that in these end times, may we seek God for wisdom. Wisdom on how to discern between equality and equity. Wisdom to discern what we're hearing from the fake news. Wisdom to discern what TV stations to watch. Now, if you watch MSNBC all day long and CNN all day long, you messed up. And you can't watch Fox for too much now because Fox is getting some timing. Let me be the first to tell you that there's no such thing as Caitlyn Jenner. It's Bruce. Bruce. May we not be divided by the plans of the enemy, but may we be clear, resolute, and sound, knowing that the Lord reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Knowing that the Lord cares about us all equally. And because he loves us, he gives us time to repent. Time to turn. Time for your governor to repent from her evil ways. Time for her to recognize that what she's doing in this state is catastrophic. Because God is long-suffering. To everyone, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God bless you.
Okay, that was actually kind of good hearing it the second time.
That was good hearing it the first time. Good clip.
Yeah, I was actually there that day, and I thought, wow, I've got to get that recording. And I actually asked him if I could play it on this show, and he says, yes, please do. So, let's see.
Awesome.
Joe is still there. Joe is still there. Hello,
Yay.
Joe.
Yeah, I see that he's stuck around.
Yeah, I don't know if he's even there because I just put him on and he's not saying anything. But one of the things that I saw yesterday, and he was talking about abortion and all this stuff, and I actually found something that Vice President Harris actually said right. It took her 2 years to do so, but she finally said something right. Did you hear about that one?
Which was?
Okay, this one I got from Newsmax, but it says, Vice President Kamala Harris answered a question about abortion, saying, quote, the government should not be telling women what to do with their bodies, unquote. I almost lost my mind over that one.
Yeah, where was she when COVID was going around and the COVID shot mandate, you know? Now that that's wound down, now the left can start saying my body, my choice again. You know, now that the mandates are over with. You notice how they completely abandoned my body, my choice when they were pushing the shots for everybody? Now they can go back to it again. Now it's safe.
Yeah, well, the problem with that is I think there's a couple of people who will come down on them for it because there are people who are kind of pissed off about what happened.
Just a little bit. You know, there's still too many of them. Like now it's like, again, you know, people usually have short memories. You know, I think that, you know, all of the COVID shot pushers, all the people that, you know, change their Facebook profile photos to, you know, I got the COVID vaccine. We can do this, you know. All the people that were supporting that mandate, I don't think that, I think they want to forget. I think they want to forget the people that they turned into because of all of that rhetoric. They allowed the media and our government to change them into literal tyrants, to
yep.
hate anybody that refused the shot. Anybody that refused the mask mandate, anybody that went against the narrative, they want to forget the literal hate that they had for us. They want to forget that they were wishing us dead. They want to forget that they were wishing for us not to get health care if we haven't got the shot, that they were wishing for us to be denied access to public places. They want to forget that they wanted us to be annihilated off the earth. They want to forget how absolutely ugly they became. And they want to just walk away as if they did nothing wrong, and they just want to forget. And they want us to forget it too. That's the even bigger part. They want us to forget it too.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Many of us will. It's something that I
won't. I'm certainly
not. I remember a time when, here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I think was the 49th state to come out of the mask mandate. Hawaii was the only one that was still there. Or there was one other one, and I think it was Hawaii. But our government governor did that at that point in time because she didn't want to be the last one. Didn't bother her that she was next to the last. But she didn't want to be the last one. And during that time, I have a friend here in Albuquerque who kept sending me these things that told me where I could go, where I could go shopping, where I didn't have to wear a mask. And one of them was Walmart. Well, I'd go into Walmart without a mask on, and people would look at me, and some of them would even say, "Don't you care about people? You're not wearing a mask." I says, "I'm not sick, but you will be." And
isn't that crazy? I was just looking up what order the Oregon was in as far as finally lifting the mask mandate. It was, it looks like June 30th, 2021, but I think that's wrong because I think they reinstated it again. Because that's what Oregon did. Like, we did that like twice before it was permanently lifted. We don't have to wear masks again. Yay. And then it was like a month later and Kate Brown was like, "Oh, nope, we're going back to it again. There's another surge of COVID, so we have to implement the mask mandates again." And she did that twice. And so by the third time, everybody was like, "Do we believe her?"
Well, there was
like
one,
the story of the three bears with Kate Brown, you know.
there was one time that I think it was the first winter. And it was cold here. I mean, you don't think of Albuquerque as getting cold, but it was like about 13 degrees with a north wind, and it was cold. And the governor made us, when you go to shop, she would only allow so many people in the store. So the people who were beyond that number had to wait outside in the cold. And a lot of people got sick because of it. And I guess she really got blasted over that one. So, and my wife was one of them who got really sick over that. And it wasn't COVID. It was pneumonia, practically. And that was the last time that happened. And after that, the stores like Walmart, and then I think there was Albertsons here, that just said, "Come on in. You don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to worry about all of these things that say only so many people can come in." And most of the churches here in town, if you went into them and looked, they had their pews roped off so only so many people could get in there, which I thought was stupid. But our church filled up. Everybody was in there, and it was completely full. And then, which made it really even cool, because there was so many people leaving after the end of the church that the police had to go out and direct traffic, which I thought was wild. But it was an interesting time. I'm glad it's over.
Well, you know, one thing that I will never forgive and never forget is when in 2020 we were having really bad wildfires. And, yeah. I was actually about 11 miles west of the, prepare to evacuate line. So it was very close to me. The smoke, I have pictures on my Facebook that don't even, really depict how horrible the air was. We had the lowest air quality in the entire world at that time.
Yeah.
It was just, it was horrible. It was like, it would have been a sunny day, but it was dark and gloomy and orange colored and eerie, like the silence, because, the birds weren't chirping, it was really eerie. And so they were evacuating all these people, that were, in the path of the wildfires, and they were sending them to the state fairgrounds here in Salem.
Yeah.
And because of our freaking governor and the social distancing and COVID mandates that were going on, they would not allow all of these people indoors inside the main arena, only a limited amount of people. So they forced all of these people to stay outside in tents. Louise.
Which didn't help.
They had to stay in tents, breathe all of that horrible, horrible air. Their pets, their kids. They were wearing masks, of course, because at least, the masks actually do help, keep smoke particles, from it. But, they couldn't wear that mask 24/7. They had to eat and drink and stuff like that, too. And, of course, little kids, they're pulling off the masks all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And so, forcing all of these people to literally stay in the parking lot for days while we had the worst air quality in the world. There was a layer of ash on everything. That's how close we were, because the wind was coming from the east and blowing all that ash and smoke right over us. And I was just fuming over this. I was going, you've got to be kidding me. How is it that this COVID emergency takes priority over an actual fire health evacuation emergency?
Yeah.
That should have taken priority, to bring people indoors, inside, so that they could breathe out, breathe filtered air, and not have to be stuck outside dealing with that.
Yeah,
I still am fuming over that. I'm like, we absolutely can never allow that kind of insanity to ever happen again.
Yeah, and that kind of thing kind of happened here too in 2022. They had some of the worst wildfires here in New Mexico that they've ever had. There was a whole forest up north of here that just pretty much is gone right now because they had a fire that they just couldn't put out, and then they had one to the east of us and a couple to the west. And the air quality here was so bad that I live probably a mile and a half from the base of the mountain. We couldn't even see the mountain. That's how bad it was.
I believe it.
And
at
that point in time, we were told to stay indoors. And if we went outside, we had to wear our masks. If we went into a store, we had to wear our masks. We had to social distance. We had to do all that happy crap. And I was doing, at that point in time, I was still doing my daily updates. And I sent about six of them to the governor. Whether she saw them or not, I don't know. But I sent them to her.
I doubt it.
But I probably made an enemy there because her staff is probably knows my name.
Oh, I'll bet. You know, how dare you? Yeah, I'm sure they didn't even bother watching it. Oh, it's against the mandates. Oh, another person, another one of those deplorables that are resisting the mask mandates, the social distancing and all that jazz.
Well, there was one article that actually caught my attention here. Let me see if I can find it. It's in Opinion Post, which is a conservative newspaper here in Albuquerque, here in New Mexico. And one of the articles was about New Mexico Democrats have severed ties with Democrat lawmaker because he went against the governor on what she felt was right. And so they've gone against him and severed ties with him. And they're not allowing him into any of their meetings. They're not allowing him into anything. And he's a liberal. But
he's not liberal enough, apparently. He doesn't pass
liberal
the liberal
enough, yes. And they named him as Democrat State Senator Daniel Ivy Soto of Albuquerque. They had a whole bunch of women who came out against him and say he sexually harassed them, but he went against the governor on a bunch of things, and they just want nothing to do with him anymore because he's a Democrat, but he didn't do what they wanted him to do, which I thought was kind of funny.
Well, you know, and Republicans often have that problem too, you know, as well. But if you're a Republican and you don't go along with all of what they want, if you speak differently, then you get shunned as well. You know, it works both ways.
It works both ways.
But I think that Democrats tend to be even more like that. You know, they take it to the next level. But Republicans do the same thing. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to revert back to Ron Paul 2012, you know, with what Maine did and what the RNC did to keep him out of the game. And then, of course, then there was all the media, which I still absolutely like. Jon Stewart, best skit that he ever did, I think, in his whole entire career when he was on The Daily Show, was when he did that skit talking about the media ignoring Ron Paul after he came in second, very close second at the Iowa straw poll.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the media was ignoring him, even Fox News. Of course, even Fox News would not mention him. And that was like the best clip ever. You know, I should actually upload that and like keep it in my files for, you know, to place on time, you know, and we're talking about media censorship. And, you know, especially everybody that just loves Fox News, you know, and it's like, nope, you know, Fox News is, you know, better than CNN in a lot of ways, but I still will never forgive them for even their participation in that censorship of Ron Paul, you know, and not covering the huge rallies. It's just like how CNN and MSNBC doesn't cover Trump's huge rally, you know.
Yeah.
They just completely ignore it like it doesn't happen. And that's exactly what even Fox News was doing for Ron Paul when Ron Paul would have, you know, sellout. I mean, just, you know, it didn't matter the size of venue. I mean, he had to, his team had to keep changing venues and try to get larger and larger venues because, you know, they were getting packed. You know,
yeah.
It's like there wasn't a venue large enough, you know, to hold everybody. And I remember when I went to one of his rallies up in Vancouver, Washington, and they had a pretty good size, you know, convention center area, but he couldn't find another venue that was larger that was available. And so there were people lining, you know, down the street and around the building because they couldn't fit everybody in. And after his rally, he came out and he actually did a 20-minute or so, 15 to 20-minute or so speech outside just for the people that weren't able to get in and listen to his speech on the inside. And I thought that was really awesome on them. And this is Vancouver. Yeah. It was rainy and kind of, you know, well, not really super rainy, but it was kind of like, you know, a little bit drizzly and misty and cold. And he stood out there and did a special speech just for people outside. And I thought that was super cool.
Yeah.
But of course, the media never would report on that either.
They wouldn't report on that. I used to live in Beaverton, and my dad lived in Vancouver, so I know that area very well. But one of the things that I found out, I was looking at stuff. I think I found this in Western Journal. They were talking about Special Counsel Jack Smith, and he is now attempting to boot Mar-a-Lago lawyer from trial, claiming divided loyalties. Well, I think he's opening up a can of worms in this where his loyalties can be pretty well judged divided too. Let's see here.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, you know, because there's, you know, the Trump loyalists, and then, you know, there's the Republicans that aren't so happy that Trump is running, especially with all of the, you know, legal crap going on and all these indictments and all this stuff. And then there's the Republicans that absolutely hate him.
Yep.
They are out there. And so there's
quite
a divide in the Republican Party right now.
Yeah. One of the things that I found was one of Trump's lawyers the other day laid out the timeline of all these indictments. And I thought it was great. I have the clip here. It's only like about a minute and a half long. But let me play that because this is pretty interesting.
The fact that I am standing here for the third time in 5 months is not a coincidence. This is the Biden political lawfare that we have seen time and time again. It is a deflection from everything that they have done. And if you don't believe me, look at the facts. On March 17th, Hunter accidentally admits that it was his laptop from hell. The next day, DA Alvin Bragg indicts President Trump. June 8th, an FBI document is released showing that the Ukrainians paid the Biden crime family millions and millions of dollars. The next day, the Mar-a-Lago raid and the Mar-a-Lago indictment. Last week, Hunter Biden's sweetheart plea deal fell through when the judge realized it had blanket immunity. The following day, a superseding indictment against Donald Trump. July 31st, Devin Archer goes to testify in front of the House. That was only after they failed to put him in jail prior to the fact. What happens the next day? The January 6th indictment that we're here for today. This is not a coincidence. This is election interference at its finest against the leading candidate right now for president, for either party. President Trump is under siege in a way that we have never seen before. President Trump and his legal team and everyone on his team will continue to fight, not for him, but for the American people. I'll take some questions.
Okay, on that one, she laid out what happened the next day after something came out against Hunter Biden or the Bidens. And I thought that was rather interesting. A lot of people don't think about it that way because, like you said, their memories are short.
Exactly. You know, it's been like three times in a row now where something major comes out about Hunter Biden and his laptop. Something major comes out about, you know, Joe Biden lied about not being involved in any of it. And evidence comes forth showing that that was a lie and he absolutely was involved in it. Comes out with, and then, you know, story breaks about how much money was made by the Biden family, including Joe Biden, on these green China and I'm forgetting the third country. And so, but and the very next day after each one of those major victories comes out, there's another indictment of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's filling up the news. You know, of course, that's what everybody that watches CNN and MSNBC and ABC and all them, that's all they see.
That's all they see.
And there's still people that believe that the Hunter Biden laptop was just fake, that it wasn't really his laptop. They have never seen that. No, Hunter Biden finally admitted it was his laptop.
Yep.
You know, why would he admit that it's his laptop if it was a lie? You know, it's like, that's
yeah.
Awesome.
But you know, and what they're doing now is they've got another one in the works, and this one's out of Georgia. It hasn't hit yet, but we know it's there because they're waiting for this next shoe to fall on Hunter Biden or on Joe Biden or even Jill or Kamala or any of them. If something comes out that hurts them, that one out of Georgia is going to show up. And right at the moment, I cannot remember what the heck that one out of Georgia is, but I was reading about it today. And they're in the works of that one. But a lot of these things, what they're doing is they're holding on to them. And instead of just holding on to them to put them out at the right time, they're also working on the wording of it so that they can take something that's not really something that's prosecutable, but they want to word it so that it can be.
Yeah, you got to, you know, choose your words wisely, you know, just like the clip that you were playing. Words have meaning. Names have meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And the language that you use, and, you know, it can steer and invoke emotion and manipulate us, you know, and we all know that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we all know that.
That's one of the things that, you know, that clip that I played of that pastor, one of the things he said was talking about being a victim. And my first thought when he said that was our friend, who is now on vacation. And I
yep.
just, you know, he said it in such a way that was really great. And I think maybe Sarge might be on the phone. I think he showed up. There's a 111. Of course, it's hard telling. Well, I'll leave him off until his hand comes up. But we...
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I started to add him in there, and I thought, nope, just wait until his hand comes up. So... But it's actually been kind of...
Yep, press one when you want to talk. Otherwise, kick back. Yep.
Yep. And I put Joe on there, too, right after this, the clip that I'd played, because thinking he might say something, but he hasn't said a word, so... I don't know. I might go ahead and put him
making
on...
Making a sandwich.
Yeah, he's probably making a sandwich. I'll leave him off there, too, until he puts his hand up. But... The thing that I'm looking at here is that there's so much going on here in the United States that we have a whole culture who seems to think that if things don't go right for you, you're a victim. And I don't believe that way. I mean, in my life, I've had a lot of things go wrong with what I've tried to do or what I've always thought, okay, fine, I'll just try something else. And I refuse to be a victim, and so many, that's what they fall into. They follow through with what society says. If things don't go good for you, you're a victim. And I don't know. I have problems with that one, and I always have had. And living here in New Mexico, you know, it's just like it's like he was saying about our governor, you know, she believes in everything when it comes to abortion. It's, you know, she hasn't met an abortion bill yet that she doesn't like. And I know it's probably just...
Yeah, which is absolutely appalling. You know, there's just no, like, if you're not extreme now, you know, if you're not totally extreme, then you're illegitimate, you know, and that goes for the right and the left, you know, if you are somebody, you know, Republican that says, okay, you know, I am pro-life, but I want to try to be reasonable here. And so I support, you know, a bill that limits it at 12 weeks, let's say. Then that Republican is shunned by the far right.
Yeah.
You know, and then they get attacked. And then if you're a far lefty when it comes to abortion, heaven forbid you support something like that. Like, yeah, I'm for choice, but I think that there should be a limit. I think it's wrong to electively have an abortion, you know, let's say, you know, past your first trimester, you know, or whatever too.
Mm-hmm.
If that person actually has a mindset that yes, there should be some kind of reasonable limit here, then the Democrats shun them. You know, you're not radical left enough, you know. And if you don't support, you know, I don't understand this abortion after a baby's been born concept. Like, okay, let's think about this. You know, an abortion is a procedure that terminates a pregnancy. Well, guess what? You know what also terminates a pregnancy? The birth of the baby. You know, there is no more pregnancy after the baby is born. So this twisting of words, this psychological, you know, screwing of the mind by saying, abortion after birth is a complete and total, you know, mixing of words and definition, you know, and I think that that's absolutely sickening. It's like, you know, you realize that that's murder then, you know, the baby's already been born, you know, it's outside of the mother's body, you know, like,
if
that's not a clear definition of murder, I don't know what is.
It's baby murder,
but they're never going to call it that.
Oh, heck no. I was reading an article, about some state, and I for some reason I keep thinking it's New Mexico, but some state is now trying to craft a bill that makes it so that if a baby makes it through the abortion, they're not listed so that they can kill them. And one of the reasons why I think that's here in New Mexico is because our governor doesn't care. If the baby makes it through the abortion, kill it anyway because it was supposed to be aborted. And that's one of the reasons why that pastor in that clip was talking about our evil governor and the things that she's doing, because she does believe that if an abortion was attempted and the baby survives, the baby should be still killed because it was supposed to be aborted.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up too, but you know, I know in response to it, that is why the House Republicans back in January passed the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act.
I've heard about that one,
but I don't think it's taken effect yet, because that was back in January. It was a vote of 220 to 210. So 210 representatives voted against. Sorry, my
thing is playing.
210 representatives voted against protecting babies born alive that survive the abortion. How absolutely sickening and evil is that? The abortion failed, the baby survives, kill it anyway. You know, what?
Yep. That just blows me away. But, you know, one of the things that Kamala Harris saying that government should stay out of abortions, I think that she actually kind of said something I don't think she meant to say, because Planned Parenthood is one of these places that's funded by the government. Doesn't that put the government into the abortion business?
Yep. That's what the black liberal hive mind that I was talking about earlier in the show, the black liberal hive mind.
Yeah.
None of them want to actually admit that the party you're voting for are the very ones that supported and deliberately put abortion clinics in black neighborhoods. You know, they want to deny that connection. You know, it's like they didn't put abortion clinics in, you know, white suburbia. You know what I mean? They put it in black neighborhoods. So that, you know, it was a backwards genocide black eugenics. They don't want to admit that. They don't want to admit that it was the party they supported black eugenics. They just will refuse those facts. And it's not, you know, and they'll still support the stuff. Yeah, we support abortions. Well, still, you know, I still don't see in vastly white neighborhoods abortion clinics being, you know, brought up in mostly white neighborhoods. So it still continues to this day. So it's not even something from the past, from 50 years ago, you know, or even 40 years ago. It still continues on today.
Yeah,
genocide
and one
via
of the,
abortion.
One of the things happening here in New Mexico is I mentioned Margaret Sanger a little bit ago during your rant, and she is part of the new nickname for our governor, because our governor's name is Michelle Lujan Grisham, and they're calling her Michelle Margaret Sanger Grisham.
I believe it.
And I haven't heard anything about what her office has said about that, but I'm sure they've heard it. And they will probably...
Yeah, they probably won't acknowledge it.
Oh,
no. Because if they acknowledge it, that gives it legitimacy, you know?
Yeah. And then the other story that I'd found from here in New Mexico is our Attorney General, Raul Torres, is a liberal as much a liberal as you can possibly find anywhere. And this week he actually, when I was talking about that one person who went against the governor, it's actually our Attorney General who did. And it was on the Civil Rights Division that he has decided that he is going to put in his office, because it's a proposal that our governor pocket vetoed in 2023. But he's going to keep a list of the new Civil Rights Division in his office, which goes completely against her. And I guess she's fuming at the mouth over that. But he will concentrate on civil rights cases and prioritizing in protecting children, which goes completely against our governor. So there's two things that happened in this state that were just, to me, just kind of blew my mind, because it's coming from a liberal standpoint, but they're still turning away from the liberal mindset, which is actually kind of cool. At least I think so anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's nice when you have an attorney general, you know, will go against some of the insanity. We need more of that. And I've just been kind of scrolling to try to find something about news that came up that the prosecution against Trump admitted, you know, after Trump being indicted, oh, by the way, Judge, we didn't actually submit all of the evidence to the defense, evidence favorable for the defense. By the way, we didn't actually submit all of it, so here's the rest of it now. That's pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing this time and time again, like, you know, when with the whole January 6th committee, you know, that congressional committee, you know, drama and Hollywood-worthy make-believe.
Yeah.
We're seeing that time and time again where they're deliberately leaving out evidence that, you know, looks bad on them, that goes against the narrative they want to push. And here we go again, now in a legal, you know, in this legal case, you know, oh yeah, by the way, you know, the grand jury didn't see this evidence, you know. So Trump gets indicted because they denied the grand jury, you know, and the judge from seeing evidence that would be in favor of Trump. But now that he's indicted, now that it's done, now we'll turn it over.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's another level of corruption that's going on here with the Biden DOJ.
Oh, God. I never thought that I'd see the day when the Department of Justice would be so corrupt that they do the things they're doing. But I found an article just now that was in the Western Journal, which Al Sharpton tries shaming Trump by comparing him to the founding fathers. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that's like, that's a compliment. Thank you very much. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, he says even the most overly generalized, overly simplified recounting of American history could be summed up such as some distinguished gentlemen were sick of living under British rule and began to revolt. Some tea was thrown overboard. The American Revolution happened. The Declaration of Independence was signed. Hello, America. And Sharpton took a general stance on Trump is nothing to write home about. But he says, I'm not sure if there's a whole thing. He starts talking about the new charges against Trump. And I really can't find anything about what he's saying here because it doesn't quote anything. But I thought that the headline on that was rather cute because it says, Al Sharpton tries shaming Trump by comparing him to the founding fathers and gets an instant history lesson. I guess it was through Twitter or X now, whatever they're calling it now. But
yeah, it's X now. You got to call it X.
Got to call it X.
So what do you
X.
call a tweet? What do we call a tweet now?
A chirp?
A zeep? You know, I don't know what to call that now. Here's an interesting one. Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy has filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Justice seeking communications between the agency and the White House about the indictment of former President Donald Trump in relation to his alleged mishandling of classified documents. I just filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Justice following its failure to substantially respond to my Freedom of Information Act request to uncover what White House officials, including President Joe Biden, communicated to Merrick Garland and Jack Smith about the unprecedented indictment in the classified documents case of a former U.S. president and one of Biden's political opponents in the 2024 presidential election, unquote, he tweeted on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm also filing a separate Freedom of Information request with the DOJ to uncover any similar communications relating to the just-issued January 6th Trump indictment, he continued. We should demand accountability and transparency. In U.S. versus Alvarez, the Supreme Court held that political candidates have a First Amendment right to knowingly make inaccurate statements. If you're going to indict a former president and leading presidential candidate, it better not be based on unprecedented legal theory. Further, it is more than a stretch to call something criminal if someone is seeking legal counsel from their own lawyers, he continued. Jack Smith has created a dangerous precedent by criminalizing the behavior of Trump's lawyers who offered him legal advice, labeling them co-conspirators instead. This jeopardizes the future of our legal system. If we fail to admit the truth, January 6th will just be a preview of far worse to come. We must reunite this country, but the path forward will not be easy. And then, of course, the article continues. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, I have a feeling Ramaswamy, you know, he knows he's not going to win the election, you know, but he's trying to position himself in such a way that if Trump wins or a Republican candidate, a different Republican candidate that is a Trump supporter or that backs Trump, that Ramaswamy will be included in that administration. So I think he's positioning himself in that regard.
Yes.
Yeah, but I find that interesting.
Yeah, I did too. I saw an article earlier. I think it was in Newsmax, but I'm trying to find it now, but I can't seem to find it. But it was about him and how he has gotten a bunch of people mad because he actually supports Trump when it comes to this whole thing going on with, you know, and one of the things I talked about on my Thursday update, I think I talked about how there are lawyers all over that are saying that this is not something that should be going because there's absolutely no facts in this. It's just a hashtag of a whole bunch of things that the Democrats have put together trying to get to Trump. And in these lawyers that I was talking about, there's Giuliani is one, Levin, Mark Levin is another one, and my mind just went blank. Dershowitz is the other one. And all three of them are saying this shouldn't be going on. But this Jack Smith seems to be, I don't know, he just seems to have an obsession with Trump. I think that'd be a good way to put it.
Well, I mean, he's not the only one.
Yeah.
And the obsession is because, you know, they really view Trump as a huge threat, you know, to, you know, their you know, liberal hive mind, which there's a YouTube channel, you know, that called that. So I don't mean to, like, you know, violate, you know, but, you know, but it's a term that I'm going to use anyways because I like it.
It's a good term.
Exactly.
But, you know,
exactly.
Reverend Franklin Graham is actually now saying that the left, one of the reasons why they are doing what they are doing is because they're scared to death of Trump. And I think I have a tendency, I think, to believe that because they can't control him. I think that's where the big problem comes in for them. They cannot control him.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because I think that, you know, I am one of those people, you know, I'm libertarian. I never voted for Trump. And if he is the nominee on the Republican ticket, I will not vote for him again, you know. because I'm too libertarian. I will not vote for anybody that supports red flag laws. I don't care who it is and how great they might be in other ways. But if a president or congressman or doesn't matter, you know, if they support red flag laws, they do not get my vote. End of story. And so that's why Trump won't get it. But I think that this is a time, you know, there's a lot of Republicans and a lot of Democrats that align on one thing, which is they don't want either Joe Biden or Donald Trump running. Biden because he's so feeble-minded, and Trump because of all these, you know, political issues and their age. Their age is a big factor. I think Trump is what, you know, he's almost the same age as Biden, but maybe a year younger. And he's not the epitome of health, you know. I'm sorry, but, you know, if you're in your 70s, you should probably give up eating McDonald's regularly, you know, because it's not going to help you live longer.
Nope,
and I tend to agree with that. And I've said it many times. I'm like, you know, I'm really worried because with all of the political hot issues going on right now in the state of our country with our economy and inflation and everything going on, the last thing we need is a president dying while in office.
Yeah.
That would be devastating. And that could easily happen with either one of them because of their age. And, you know, so I just think that, you know, neither one should run. We need some new blood. And I'm hoping that, you know, everybody that is still a moderate, you know, yes, you might be shunned, but if you're actually a moderate, you know, you're not far left and you're not far right, and you still have some, you know, sense of reason about you, you really need to start looking at the Libertarian Party. You know, it's like the Libertarian Party, libertarians used to be considered the fringe right, and we're not anymore. It's like, look at what some of these Republicans are doing. They're like going way far right, even beyond, you know, and beyond anything a libertarian would do.
Absolutely.
So I'm really hoping that a lot of Republicans start becoming more and more Republican libertarians, conservative libertarians, libertarians that are only running as Republican because that's the only way to win elections right now. And then hopefully we'll get more people like that, you know, more Rand Pauls, more, you know, people that are, you know, maybe they were asleep for the last 20 years, but starting to realize that, hey, you know, maybe Ron Paul wasn't so crazy after all, you know, maybe everything Ron Paul said 20 years ago and still says now, is actually more truth than we ever wanted to admit to. You know, I would love to see more Republicans leaning more and more, libertarian, which actually is more constitutional, more freedom.
Yeah.
You know, and when you hear Republicans saying, you know, if I win, I'm going to dismantle these ABC agencies, these corrupt ABC agencies. Well, guess who they're adopting that from? You know, that was Ron, that was what Ron Paul was saying 20 years ago.
Yeah, he was. And I remember that. Another one that I think would be actually decent from the things that he said is that Ramaswamy, he said some good things too. But I think it's, oh heck, I'm trying to find an article right now about him, but I'm not seeing nothing right at the moment. Because I know I saw it just not too long ago, but he was talking about that, some good things that he wanted to do, but there was one here that was talking about one of the other ones, that Tim Scott is now saying that if he's elected, he'll finish the border wall. So they're all kind of moving around in the things that they want to say, but it's, I don't know. But I agree with you on that, know, it would probably help if the Republicans and Libertarians kind of moved together and then adopted the good parts of each platform and then put it all together as the American platform. I think that would probably be a good idea.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Ramaswamy used to be libertarian, but, you know, so I think even though he kind of rejects it now, I watched the interview with him and Jordan Peterson, and, you know, and he's like, well, I'm not libertarian anymore, ha, 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 ha. And, you know, like scuffing it off, like, you know, and I kind of, you know, I literally was giving the middle finger to my TV. I'm like, screw you. This is where your ideas are coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're trying to pretend like you've rejected the Libertarian Party because it's like ridiculous. That's kind of like, you know, the air that he gave. And yet what you're talking about is very libertarian, you know. So you need to embrace that. You know, if you want to get libertarians to actually vote for you over a libertarian presidential candidate, then you need to stop this kind of sideways ridicule of them. You used to be a libertarian. You know, honest and admit that the only reason why you're a Republican now is because you know that's the only way that you're going to get elected, you know. But admit that, you know, you're not going to, if you want to win people over, if you want to get over the hump and beat the Democrat, then you're going to have to rope in that, you know, 3-5% of libertarian votes. You know, you're going to have to rope us in, you know what I mean? And get us to vote for you.
Yeah. That was me. I had to stop that. Okay. I opened up a thing on Newsmax or something about Feinstein, but, you know, I agree with what you're saying about him. You know, what he needs to do is, I don't really think it's bad that he went from libertarian to Republican, but he should, like you said, embrace both sides and not put down one side or the other, just kind of bring them together. Because I think
that's what Ron Paul did. You know, Ron Paul was a libertarian but ran as a Republican, and he embraced it, you know. Mm-hmm. He embraced his libertarian roots. And Ramaswamy needs to do the same thing. Because if he starts to put an air of like, okay, so you're going to be, you know, slightly ridiculing libertarians while also adopting a lot of the libertarian philosophy and things, you know,
mm-hmm.
now you're a hypocrite.
Yeah, exactly.
We got too many hypocrites.
Oh, about 90% of them are hypocrites, right? And that's the thing that's scary about our government right now is that 90% of our government doesn't care about America, and they should, you know, and if we can't get the Democrats to come to our side, then the Republicans and the Libertarians need to try and get together on that, because, you know, the Republicans are never going to win against the Democrats. There's too many of them, and the Libertarians are never going to win against the Democrats because there's too many of them. But if they joined forces, wouldn't that expand the numbers?
Exactly. You know, especially when a lot of the Republicans are adopting libertarian philosophies. It's just like, mm-hmm. you know, come on now, you know. And imagine a world if Ron Paul had actually won the presidential election. Imagine a world, you know, imagine the fact that right now, we would not have this level of corruption in the FBI and the CIA and the Department of Justice and the EPA and all of these government agencies. If they had not been completely gutted, they would be drastically shrunk in size. And therefore, their influence would be drastically minimal compared to what we have right now. Imagine if he had become president, doing a full audit of the Federal Reserve and eventually dismantling it.
Okay.
Not have a Federal Reserve right now that has historically risen our interest rates 7 times now in a year and a half. You know, stealing wealth out of our, you know, like right now is not the time for the middle class to buy a car or buy a house or get a home equity loan, you know, to fix up their house. I mean, now is not the time to get a loan for a damn thing because interest rates, you know, and then the Federal Reserve won't even rule out doing another interest rate hike come September. They won't rule it out. So that means, of course, they're probably going to. You know?
And I think Joe finally raised his hand.
Got us even more.
Yeah, I think Joe finally raised his hand, so I let him in.
Yeah, no, I'm here. So I'm just listening to, what's going on.
Did you take a nappy poo?
Nah. I did my thing. Before I come back and visit you guys. And I also had a thought. Hey, Bob. Hey,
yes.
Would you mind if I put on relationship shows on whenever the feeling hits me?
No, I don't mind at all.
Oh, okay, good. Hey, Laurie-Anne, would you mind being my co-host if I do that?
You know I wouldn't mind. Of course I'll be there. I'll co-host with you, absolutely.
See, you're one popular
one. Okay, good.
One.
Well, I don't want to take you for granted, you know. I want you to be the co-host, but, you know, I feel like instead of announcing, I have my co-host, my new perennial co-host, Laurie-Anne here, I thought I'd ask, you know, and get the word from you.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then, you know, if it doesn't just have to stick with relationships either. We can talk about other topics, non-political ones, put on a non-show.
Yeah, but the show will be primarily about relationships. That's why it'll only be about an hour and a half or so. So, okay, well, thanks, Bob, for the, for the granting of that. And,
of course.
Thanks, Laurie-Anne, for being my my co-host. If I ever do get it up off the air. I wanted to put on a show again about political solutions, but it's that's a pipe dream. So I've given that up. So I'll go with my relationships agenda.
Sounds good to me.
Have you guys given it up, the coalescing of the talk show hosts?
No,
here
not really.
No?
Not really.
Okay.
I haven't given it up. I just haven't heard anything about it lately. And I've been on that site of yours. Let's see if I can go to it, wherever it is.
Yeah.
And I
Save Our Freedom that I signed up for? I think it's Save Our Freedom.
Yeah.
Well,
just don't want to accept that, you know, there's going to be sacrifices that are going to have to be made, you know, if we're going to get out of this. Everybody wants the fruit without having to sacrifice a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Laurie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if the solution is to, let's say, get the truth out about the federal income tax, you know, nobody wants to hear it. Everybody is so convinced that we all owe income tax on our income.
No, we don't.
And not admit that it's a scam. And then if they do admit that it's a scam, that like 95% of us actually legally do not owe, you know, are not obligated to pay income tax. If they do accept that truth, then they don't want to accept what that's going to look like, because what that looks like is a complete and utter dismantling of our overreaching, power-hungry federal government. It means rethinking, you know, everything that everything that people believe, that the federal government is the overlord, you know, that the federal government needs to be as big as it is. You know, they don't want to admit that that means a complete shrinkage of our government in every way, which, yes, also means welfare, and not just welfare for the poor, you know. We're not talking about welfare for the poor. That'll be the last thing that gets, you know, shredded. You know, libertarians, Republicans, conservatives, you know, welfare for the poor is not where to focus. It's welfare for the corporation and this marriage, this sick, dysfunctional marriage between corporation and our federal government. No more bailout for the big banks and the big corporations and the airlines and all that other. No more of these huge subsidies, like, paying for and giving no liability to big pharma companies for their drugs and vaccines. Mm-hmm. No more of this stuff. That's what it means. You know, if we cut the purse strings and actually accept the truth that we don't owe this federal income tax by law, that it's a total scam and it's been scamming us for decades, ever since its inception, you know, it's like, that's the reality that people don't want. That's a big, huge pill people don't want to swallow, of what that's really going to look like.
Yeah, and I think there's one other thing about that, too. It's like, there's a lot of people who will suddenly not get their income tax refund at the beginning of the year or at the end of the tax year. And I think that's where greed comes in. They think, oh, boy, the government's going to give me this money. They don't seem to realize that that money is theirs in the first place. So, you know,
yes, exactly. We saw that when Trump increased your standard deduction. So when he increased it from, what was it, $12,000 to $15,000, something like that, and for the standard deduction, then people were up in arms because they're like, wait a minute, now my normal deductions, you know, I can't take all these normal deductions now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but you don't get it. Like, that's because the standard deduction actually is more than what you normally deduct. Do you not understand this? You know, you're actually getting more back. You know, when your standard deductions is $13,000 and the limit is $11,000, that means you paid income tax on $2,000 more of your income. You know, it's like, they didn't understand that concept. And yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. They were all up in arms about it. And it's like, they didn't realize, like, that's actually a good thing. It makes it easier. You don't have to, you know, submit all of these, all this bullshit, you know, for an additional $3,000 or $4,000 of your income now. You know, it's just like, it boggles my mind how stupid people were. But you're right. You know, they rely on their refund, not really realizing that what that refund really means. And what that refund really means is, you know, oh, you got $2,000 back in a refund or $5,000 back in a refund. What you effectively did is you loaned the government $5,000 for an entire year interest-free, and then, you know, you're waiting to get it back. You know, you're waiting to get your own money back. You know, it's so stupid of them. But that's the psyops that people are so involved in.
And then if you don't get your supposed taxes done at a certain time, then you get penalized by the government for not giving them your money. that just
yeah, when they
me.
Demand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're giving them, you know, an interest-free loan that entire time, and then you'll get penalized if you don't give them your money in time, if you don't file in time. It just, it's so backwards.
Yep. Well, we just went into the
But they would rather accept that reality than, you know, accept the reality that you don't owe it in the fucking first place. Sorry to swear, but, you know.
Exactly.
That's the truth of it.
Yep. Yep, we just went into the optional third hour. So, with you being in the chat room, you're the only one who would disappear
yeah,
from
got,
the show.
Yeah, we've got, you know, two Skype callers on the switchboard that are still just listening.
Yep.
And then, anybody new that wants to come in isn't going to be able to.
Yeah, well, I've got two Skype people in there. So.
Yep.
And
which at any time they can press one and raise their hand, we'll bring them on.
Yep. Neither one of them have shown that yet. So, but you know, without Warren here, it's been kind of a quiet evening.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of wish he would have been here so he could have heard that clip that I played at the beginning of the show. That would have probably started the fireworks.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'll listen, though. He'll find time to listen to the recording at some point, you know. I'm just not even going to bother with him. You know, it's one of those things where there's just no point. It's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Waste of time and energy. Because that way we can actually talk about something other than racism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, when he's on, it's like that's the only thing that exists is racism. There's nothing else to talk about. And I say the opposite.
Yeah. One of the things that I, when I opened up this last article and that, thing started playing. I keep forgetting that Newsmax does that, but the article is about Dianne Feinstein. She is now ceded power of attorney, but still holds on to her seat. It says Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat of California, has ceded power of attorney to her daughter. And
wow.
It had a thing in there where it showed her a video showing her voting on a bill. She had no clue what was going on, and they had to tell her what it was about and that she needed to say aye.
Yeah. I saw the headline about that.
That blew me away. If she can't do her freaking job, she needs to step down, you know, as with, you know, this thing with McConnell this last week, that was kind of scary to watch him just be talking along and all of a sudden just stop that, you know, and it's like he had a mini stroke or something, you know, when the age starts interfering with what you need to do in our federal government, then you need to step down, period. That's, you know, and this whole idea of, term limits, I think it's becoming more and more apparent that this needs to be put in there.
Yeah, or an age, you know, a term limit and or age limit, you know.
Mm.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, and Congress is failing too. If she's not going to step down on her own, then Congress is failing us as well because, you know, Congress needs to step up and go, you are incapable of doing your job. It's obvious. If you need a power of attorney to handle your other affairs, you know, because you're that bad off, then you are, you know, too bad off to continue as a representative. And our Congress, if she doesn't do it, Congress has the ability to do it.
Yeah, and one of the guys on Newsmax, I was watching the news thing on this, and I can't remember which show it was on. But they were talking about her. You know, it was Rob Schmidt, And he was he had a person on there who was saying that if they can't drive their own car, they should not be in Congress. If they can't back up a trailer, they should not be in Congress. And I thought those were some pretty good ones, you know. And if you can't drive your own car, you shouldn't be making laws.
Exactly. You know, lost the ability to, you know, and yeah, I mean, when you're losing your faculties or your health is so bad, you know, that you can't function without assistance in your everyday life, then there's no way that you should be a representative in any way, you know, state or federal, doesn't matter.
Yes.
You're not representing your constituents.
Mm-mm. But it talks about how she just last week, Feinstein began to read prepared remarks during a Senate Appropriations Committee markup of bills before fellow Democrat and committee chair Patty Murray, which is another one of those liberals, Democrat of Washington, whispered to her just to say aye. And I was watching this, and she looked at Patty Murray, then she looked the other direction, then she looked forward and said aye. It's like, oh boy, that's the kind of person that's leading our country now, you know, leading, making bills and things like that. I said, oh my God, this is getting sick.
Yeah, they don't read the bills anyway.
No, they don't.
So we've had a corrupt Congress for decades, and people have to become educated enough about that in order to vote in the next group of people that they think, or at least would be honest, but they don't even know how to vet potential candidates. So the propagandizing and the indoctrination and the brainwashing by the Marxists, the Rothschilds, et cetera, through our educational system has worked. People don't know how to vet. They don't know how to vote for the right politicians. They keep voting for the guy with the bushiest hair, the best-looking woman, and they're the ones that get elected. So that's it.
Yeah. You know, and I've been talking about that. I think I've mentioned it on my show several times and on my updates. You know, that you need to vet and find out what the heck these people stand for. And it's not just what they stand for now, because it's going to change. Find out what they've stood for in the past when it didn't matter, and that will tell you what they think.
Well, even so, you can find out what they stood for in the past, what they stand for now.
Yep.
But yeah, once they get into Congress, what are they going to do once they have the 6-year term in front of them? No, the 2-year term. They now are going to be influenced by the, by the lobbyists. So the voters have to find a way to even safeguard against that. One of the suggestions I made, and I use Joe Gibson as an example, because since he's running for Congress in South Carolina or North Carolina, he wanted me to grill him, and I did. What I had done was this. You recognize that freshman politicians, they don't have much power. They're going to be future Ron Pauls. They don't have much power. But you can get them to commit to doing something that will show that they're on the level. For example, I said to Gibson, would you be willing, once you got in, to go around to all of your colleagues, Democrats and Republicans, and get an affirmation from them as they will join you and stating that at least corruption is the number one problem in America, and that they're willing to do something about it. Not that they would co-sponsor a bill, because, you know, that would be against the lobbyists. But if these politicians say, well, yeah, I'll support you, but then they don't. Or if they say, no, I don't want to support this, I'll wait for the usual procedures, and then I'll participate in that. then I would say, hey, Joe, then would you, within the first month of your having been elected, would you publish those results? He said, yeah. So, and then I said, if you publish those results, I mean, rather, if you don't publish those results, if you don't go around to the fellow congressman, would you be willing to be yanked out of office? He said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want. I want a deadline. I want a commitment from these politicians that, okay, what can I do? I'm a freshman. I got to do what I got to do. I have to work my way up. I got to become seniority. Well, in the meantime, you can show your constituents that you're on an honest path. And if you're not on an honest path, and if you don't do the campaign promises that you can do but fail to do within 1 month, you know, we don't have to wait for 6 years to, you know, to get your ass out of there. We can do it in a month.
We can do it in a month, yeah.
If they say yes, yeah, that's one way of vetting them. Because otherwise, everybody that you vote in has a very good resume. They've all either been an activist or they've been a prosecuting attorney or they've been a defense attorney or they've been a good doctor or they've been an activist or an advocate in some way. But once they get into office, what happens? They change. They want to stay in office. And they don't care about the individual vote anymore. They need billions of dollars to run their campaigns. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm all for getting them out as soon as possible. And,
yeah.
of course, they can't commit to that, then they're not for me.
And I agree with you on that. If they're running campaign promises that's going to vote into office, then they need to follow through with those campaign promises. And a lot of them will come up with this idea like, well, I campaigned on that and it got me elected, but I can't do it now because it'll take away my base. And no, it wouldn't, because you got elected because of those campaign promises. Do them, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but if they don't do them, you can't yank them out. They still have to wait 6 years. And even if you have term limits, I'm a person who doesn't believe that term limits will fix the problem, because corruption in, corruption out, new levels of corruption, that's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
We need a way to get rid of them right away. Or if you can't get rid of them right away, to expose them right away. You know, to say,
mm-hmm.
this is something that this person promised to do within 1 month. He or she did not do it. They knew that they were capable of doing it. And now, just like the contract with America. Do you remember the contract with America that Gingrich had? Gingrich
yeah.
back in 94. He said part of the contract with America was that these the Republicans, they promised not to go beyond their term, you know, not to seek re-election again. What happened when the term came up? They all sought re-election again.
Mm-hmm.
So the contract with America was automatically null and void. It was what did the Republicans do with Obamacare? Remember? They all said, we're not going to vote for Obamacare. What, Bob?
Yeah, they did exactly the opposite of what they said they would do.
Yeah.
Because they got elected to get rid of Obamacare, and then they just enhanced it pretty much. They didn't get rid of it at all.
No. So, and then they said, well, we're not going to vote for Obamacare now. We'll let it become the Democratic scab, you know, and the scandal. But if we,
mm-hmm.
but if we were in control of Congress, we would never allow Obamacare to pass. But what? And you're right. So what happened? They got in control. I think in 2016, when
mm-hmm.
Trump got elected, did they vote to get rid of Obamacare? Hell,
nope.
No. Okay. So it's all political theater. and they're all corrupt. And I say, drown them all like rats in the ocean.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe it's, you know, making laws that make it easier for voters to recall, you know. Because if voters want to recall a politician, whether it's your governor or whether it's a congressman or Senate, it's like an uphill battle to do it. And maybe that's an avenue, is supporting creating a new law that makes it easier for we the people to vote somebody out of office while they're still in office for failing to do, you know, or for failing to do what they promised to do. And even bigger than that, doing an about face and voting against what they said that they, you know, what they would vote for, you know, or vice versa. You know, like, we're going to repeal Obamacare, but when they turn around and vote for it, you know, then we should be able to take that and go, okay, you are failing in your duties. You are failing your job. You're not representing the voters that voted you in. So the voters should be able to vote you out while you're still in office a hell of a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, you know, that's one of the things that I did talk about. You know, it's like I've told you, I do my those daily updates, and before I put them on Rumble and before I put them on BitChute and the other ones I was putting out, I was actually putting them on YouTube. And when YouTube got rid of me, all of those disappeared. I have no clue where they'd be, because I never, you know, I ran out of space on my computer and started getting rid of them. I used Facebook Live on a lot of those, but because they're, you know, Facebook Live, that, hell, once a couple of weeks have gone, it's gone. And I actually said that when they promised to get rid of Obamacare and they didn't do it, I said, that is one of the red flags we should be looking at, and we should be getting rid of them as soon as possible, because they did not follow through with what got them elected.
And now, yeah, and that was a clear-cut example of their lying. Now, the way our bill system is constructed, if I ran on lower taxes and anti-abortion, let's say, right, and I got elected, now a bill comes down the pike, but the bill, it says it raises taxes, but it gets rid of abortion, okay? So, therefore, my campaign promises are split up in this bill. So if I vote for lowering taxes in this bill, I'm also at the same time voting for abortion. I want to get rid of the bill structure. I don't want earmarks. I don't want 1,000 issues in a bill. I want one issue, one bill. That way we can clearly delineate. Right. We can clearly delineate which politician is voting, is trying to keep his campaign promises, and which aren't. That way we can recall them as more easily than the current bill structure. But look, we have a corrupt government, always have had it, and I'd like to know how to get rid of it. I don't know how.
Yeah, and that's the way I look at it. It's just I think the one time that really got me up in arms over this whole thing was when they voted for Obamacare. And Nancy Pelosi said, we have to pass this so we can see what's in it. Hell no.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that was the first time I ever wrote a politician, and I wrote it to her, and I said, you are a freaking idiot. Of course, she probably never got it.
Yeah, probably never read it. Yeah. So we need to find a way. I thought we were having at least a burgeoning effort, but that got blown out of the water. So it is what it is.
Well,
I think the next thing that needs to be tackled is the NDAA. You know, the NDAA is another huge tyrannical bombshell that they all pass. You know, they'll make some concessions here and there to get it to pass, but it still always passes. You know, it's like it needs to be repealed and completely like a revamp, you know. The next time when there's Republican control of both the Congress and the Senate, and we have a Republican president, they need to take the time, go back to the goddamn drawing board on the NDAA, and get rid of all of this, all of the crap that's in there, because that's exactly what's allowed the Department of Defense 5 years in a row not being able to account for yet another almost $2 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow that's acceptable. And the NDAA is what has allowed that to happen. And so one provision that they should put in a new revamped, you know, completely stripped down version of the NDAA is that the Department of Defense, the Pentagon, absolutely has to account for every damn penny that is allocated to them. And if they can't, then the next year, whatever they can't account for is going to be deducted from that next year's budget.
Mm-hmm. And maybe even put it in there that it can also be deducted from their salaries. That would be a big one right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, higher ups especially.
Yeah. But it'll never happen because the people in charge of making sure that these kind of solutions that people are coming up with to be implemented will never be implemented because it's against their self-interest. The wolves are in charge of the hen house. That's the way it is.
Yep. And it's
be a threat to, you know, the military-industrial complex as well, and big oil. Because, of course, big oil and military-industrial complex, that's another dysfunctional marriage that's going on. And so we start penalizing, you know, the Department of Defense by reducing their budget for whatever amount they can't account for after every year. And being audited, then that's going to take money away from all of these, you know, big military contracts and contracts with big oil and all that stuff too, as an after effect.
Absolutely, and you know, it's the other part of this whole thing that I actually blame is the people, because when things go wrong in our government, like right now, we've got the Bidens have got so many things against them that any other president would have probably been impeached and gotten rid of. The people are not rising up and saying, now, wait a minute here. This has got to stop. They're just sitting back, enjoying their lives and just thinking, oh, well, it's just the way it is. It'll continue to be this way. But the people are allowing it too, and that needs to stop.
Yeah, but it just shows the propagandizing that's been taking place. Everybody's in the matrix, you know, and everybody is waiting for somebody to come along. But once Trump got arrested, I'm sure that a lot of people's hopes got dashed. So,
Well, you know, ever since, and I've been around for, you know, a while. One of the things I remember after Reagan, the Republican Party sat there and said, we are waiting for the next Reagan. Well, why? You know, a president who will actually do what he says he'll do, like, you know, Reagan or Trump or whatever, they don't come around all the time. And if you've got a party that's sitting there just waiting for the next one to come along, they're not doing their job either, because they need to be actively finding somebody who will do what needs to be done to save this country instead of having all these idiots out there just deciding, well, I'm going to do this. I don't care what it does to this country or what it does to the people. We're going to do this. And that needs to stop. And the people need to start rising up on that one.
Yeah, but they're not.
I don't even think that we need a new Reagan, honestly.
No,
The Reagan administration wasn't Reagan that signed the first quote-unquote assault weapons ban?
I think so, yes.
Biden helped write it, but, you know, Reagan didn't veto it like he should have. He signed it.
Yeah.
Republicans were behind that, you know. I mean, if Reagan, you know, Reagan should have vetoed it. He should have taken a stand and said no. You know, if you're going to say you support your Second Amendment rights, then as president, you get an assault weapon ban legislation on your desk, you veto it.
Yep.
And you say to Congress, no, if you're going to pull this kind of crap, then you're going to have to amend the Constitution in order to allow this. You're going to have to amend the Constitution so it revokes Second Amendment rights. And you're going to have to gain enough support in order to make that happen. You know? That should have been the message that Reagan made. But he didn't. Mm-hmm. He signed it.
No, he didn't. Nope. But, you know, the thing that's going on now is that, Alan Dershowitz and Mark Levin and several others have talked about how this whole thing with Jack, what's his face,
Smith.
Whatever the hell,
yeah.
If he gets away with doing what he's trying to do now, that effectively gets rid of our First Amendment. Well, how long have we been hearing that the politicians who don't like the way this country was founded, that's how they're going to get rid of the Constitution. They're going to get rid of the amendments. Amendment 1. Right now is on its way out if this whole thing passes. Amendment 2, they've been working on that one for a while. Amendment 3 will come along if it hasn't already. I think it has. Amendment 4 and 5, they'll effectively get rid of the Constitution if we do not stop them. And it's up to us to do it, but we're not doing it.
Yep, and that's very true. People aren't going to, very few people are going to do it. Like I said, everybody's in the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, I'm gonna leave you two guys. All right. So enjoy the rest of the weekend, and I'll talk to you when I talk to you. Okay. Good night.
You have a good weekend.
All right. Good night, Joe. Good to hear from you.
Boy, he left quick. But you know, that's one of the things.
He sounded kind of tired, like he was ready for a nap.
Well, he did. He sounded like he sounded like he was sleeping during that clip I played.
Yeah, it's very possible. He's admitted that he falls asleep sometimes to that, which if he was napping, that's why when we called him out earlier, he was probably napping.
Or trying to wake up when he heard his name or something like that. Yeah. Because I think after the clip was over, then I added him in because he was still there. And he didn't say anything for a long, long time. But
yeah, and then you're like, okay, we're going to mute you again. Raise your hand when you want to talk. This is where we're at. It's like, oh, my God, like, we need to, I don't know how to break through. I mean, our government in cahoots with media and everything else, they have done such a successful job of convincing we the people that lies are the truth and the truth is lies.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, how do we undo that? You know, how do we somehow get through, you know, years and years and years of deception and this upside down, you know, the truth are lies and the lies are truth. How do we get the masses to not just wake up? It's beyond wake up, you know,
mm-hmm.
not just wake up to it, but like I was talking earlier, to actually accept it. and actually, like, psychologically be able to deal with the reality that is, which means a reality that they have supported these lies. They have supported the tyranny. They have, you know, vehemently villainized anybody that spoke against the corruption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were convinced that the corruption that we're talking about has all been lies, and when it's all been true. So it's like it pokes at their whole identity. You know, it pokes at who they think they are. You know,
mm-hmm.
versus who they really are. Sorry, let me make some noise as I grab the lights. But I mean, it's like you gotta wake up to this, man, and you gotta be willing to accept the truth as it really is. You know,
mm-hmm.
and not some watered down version of it that, you know, this tiny little pill that you can swallow instead of the big pill, you know, that you're afraid to choke on. We just,
mm-hmm.
you know, people cannot be afraid to choke on the big pill of truth anymore, you know?
Yeah, and it's getting to the point where they have to start doing stuff like that, because, you know, I think for probably the last 20 years, I've been saying on this show that America is not too big to fail. And too many people think that it is. It's not.
Exactly. We've been failing. We are failing, you know, little by
yep.
little, chip by chip. I mean, you know, talk about the erosion of our amendments, you know, of our Bill of Rights. You know, just look at, it's our legislators, it's our judicial system, it's our bad Supreme Court. You know, look at the state of California,
mm-hmm.
where you can be, just to enter the state of California, you have to stop and, you know, on their border because of the agriculture for fruits and vegetables and plants that you might be transporting. You, in order, just by crossing the border into California, you are agreeing that you are subject to a search of your vehicle for plants. That is, you know, that's an invasion of your Fourth Amendment right. They don't
yep.
have a warrant to do it, you know, but just crossing the border into California from Oregon or Nevada, you're on vacation, whatever, then you are subject to them inspecting your vehicle and spec cooler to make sure that you're not importing, you know, oranges or something, you know, you know, plants
yeah.
or vegetables or fruit that, you know, and it's like, you know, this is the kind of crap that the people have allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Why have you allowed this? That's a violation of your Fourth Amendment. There's no probable cause. Just because you're driving and you have a cooler, you know, in your car, is not probable cause to search your vehicle. But yet
yep.
they've allowed these laws to pass that say, yeah, you know, and they call it an inspection. Somehow an inspection is different than a search. That's how they get around it. Oh, it's not
no,
a search.
It's the same thing.
It's an inspection.
No, it's a search. You know, and then, but you know, you're right, you know, on that one. You know, I've been watching this for a long, long, long time. I hate to say that because it shows my age, but that's okay. You know, I can remember when what the Democrats and the Republicans were actually going after, they would do it in the back rooms. And I said this on one of my updates this last week, that they would do this in back rooms because they knew it was wrong. They knew the people would not allow it. And it's gotten to the point now
exactly.
where they have gotten away with this so freaking long now that they don't care what the people think. They don't care what anybody thinks. They're going to do it, and they're going to do it right out in the open because they feel that they've gotten far enough now that they can do whatever they want. And they're doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we've gotten
the people
so brainwashed that the people will support this crap. They don't have to hide it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And then they come out with these stupid bills that they have so much stuff in them that there's no possible way any one person can sit there and say, oh, yeah, I know exactly what's in that bill. No, you don't. If you say you do, you're lying because you have no clue what's coming at you. And
they look at the name of the bill and they don't realize that, guess what, you know, that feel good name that they put on the bill does the exact opposite.
Yeah. And,
Patriot Act is anything but Patriot, you know. It's just
the name they put on there sounds really great, but that name only pertains to maybe about a hundredth of what's in that bill.
Exactly.
And a lot of these bills.
Sign your rights away.
Yeah, sign your rights away and your money too, because a lot of these bills have stuff to help our enemies.
Yeah.
People don't know it because they won't look at it. They won't research. They won't. And the sad part about it is that, like, with even with Obamacare, you could go online and get the bill. You could do it. It was possible. But nobody wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, who has the time, you know, when they make this monster bill? How many pages was it? Wasn't it something like 3,000-something pages?
I think it was 3,600.
More than that, even.
Something like that. It was,
yeah,
it was
yeah, 3,600.
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell is going to read that and comprehend it, you know? They deliberately made so that not even senators and representatives can actually read it and comprehend it, you know?
And, you know, and then that, and when Nancy Pelosi said, we got to pass it to see what's in it, my first thought was, oh no, I don't think so. But, you know, being a one person in a state of New Mexico, I just, you know, my voice wasn't heard.
Jeez.
Even though I said it on my,
exactly.
on my show. Even though I had a blog at the time I'm kind of sad that I let that go, because I had a blog that had like close to 1 million hits on it, and I was really doing good on that one, and I just kind of let it go one day, and about 5 months later I realized it was gone. So I'm still trying to get that started back up again, but you know it. People need to start watching what's going on in our government, because there are some out there in our government who are trying to tell us what is happening, what we need to start doing, and we're not listening to them. We're just listening to the Joe Bidens and the Nancy Pelosi's and the Dianne Feinsteins, and who can't even say I without help anymore, you know, and the Mitch McConnells. We're all listening
and the
to them. Yeah, and we're all listening to them, and none of them have the wherewithal or the knowledge that a lot of us already have, and they're part of our government, running our government, making laws, and the people are not doing anything about it, and it has to stop. You know, if we want to save this country to be a place for our children and our grandchildren, we have to do something about it. And the people have to wake up. That's, you know, and I've been saying that for so many years now, it sounds like I'm a broken record, but it's true. We have to wake up. We have to stop this bullshit that's going on, because they're not going to stop. They're going to continue doing everything they can to hurt this country and hurt us in the process until we stop them. And it's all up to us. It's up to us to stop them, and we just won't do it.
And that is the sad part about it. It absolutely is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to forget that Ron Rex's show just started about 10 minutes ago, too. So
yeah. thanks for reminding me, because when I head over there, when this is over.
I like to make my way over to his show, too, a lot when once this show wraps up. And
yeah, I know, and you're already there when I get
there. That's probably where we'll see, like, Gunslinger and everybody. Huh?
Yeah. And you're already there when I get there. No matter how fast I go there, you're still already there.
That's because I have the window open, ready to go.
Hard to
then once
over.
We hang up, then I switch right on over.
Yeah, hard to beat you. But I'm really glad
what
you were here.
What can I say?
Yeah, I actually
I'm glad to be here. You know, it's quiet night. I don't know where everybody went to tonight, but I think it was nice. You and I were able to actually talk. You know, a lot of times, you know, when you know who is on, and then.
Yeah.
That brings everybody else, and then everybody's like yelling at each other, and then you nor I actually can talk about anything.
Kind of like we lost the show. It was hijacked tonight.
Exactly. Yeah, you feel like your show is just hijacked and taken over.
That's pretty much what I expected tonight, because he kept saying that he's going out of country. And then he played that show where he went against me and CNM, and he actually mentioned Vince, which kind of surprised me. But
yeah,
he went against us, and then he played
going
that show.
Going after you, Vince, Pianchi, Sarge, everybody, and then played it, three times on Monday. You rebroadcast it. It's like,
it's
the day before you're leaving for a month-long vacation. Don't you have anything better to do? You know, then spend that day rebroadcasting that same show three times.
Yep, and then I finally got a reply from Blog Talk Radio today. And it's funny because one of the stipulations in there was that my reply had to be within 24 hours of the show. And I just sent him back a letter. I says, well, you wouldn't reply to me. It's been almost a week now, so...
That's
so
ridiculous, because you did the very next day. Put your message.
I sent it about the time that you mentioned it to me. I thought, okay, well, I'll go ahead and do that. And I sent them a letter and told them that I had the transcript, I had the show, and I told them when the show was, and I told them I had the transcript from the chat room, which I copied and pasted. I got it on my computer. And they said, well, we need, and then they listed about 8 or 10 things. And then one of the things was it had to be within 24 hours of the show. And I just sent them back a letter and says, 24 hours from the show? It's been a week, for crying out loud. I left it there. So.
No, they don't even respond for at least 24 hours. Send me that email, if you don't mind. If you could forward that to my Lucid Libertarian email, I would love to see what they said about that.
Yeah, I'm not really sure if I, well, yes, I did. I got an email. I sure as heck did. I'll send it to you. That's no problem at all. But I thought.
Did you point out the section in their own terms of service regarding harassment and stuff?
I mentioned it, but I don't think I pointed it out that it was part of their, I mentioned that I was being harassed. And that the people who were on my show were being harassed. And I did mention all of that, but they didn't seem to really care, I guess not. Because they sure didn't, they took their time to respond back to me. But yeah, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, you should go to their terms of service and copy paste what it says. You know, respond back to them and say, and then he rebroadcast that show, on Monday, last week, Monday. I did report it to you within 24 hours of the original show. And then he proceeded to rebroadcast it the next day three times. And then, I didn't realize that there's a 24-hour limit on your own terms of service.
Yeah. And I had gotten hold of them before that 24 hours was up. So But and every day I went into my email to check that, see if they'd replied, and nothing. And it finally showed up, I think, late last night or this morning, early this morning. And that, you know, if it was early this morning, that's a whole week past the show. And
yeah, don't let them, you know, reply back to it, even if they've closed it out, reply back to it and say, no, this issue is not concluded, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you took a week to even get back to me, you know,
yeah,
from when I first reported it. So I did report it within 24 hours. It violates your terms of service. And then quote that area. I'll even look it back up again for you if you want. Quote the terms of service.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it, you know, mentioned that he rebroadcast it three times the following day when you had already reported it to him. You know, and so I complied on my end, you know, and you guys need to comply on your end, enforcing your own terms of service.
Yep. And, you know, I could also bring up the fact that $39 a month is a little bit too much for the service I'm getting from them. But
yeah, no doubt. You know, I provide better support for other hosts than their own support does. You know,
mm-hmm.
Hey, Lorianne, how do you do this? How do you do that? Yeah, if you go into here, you can do that. Like,
you know? Yeah. Yep.
Get rid of that Moses guy that is freaking worthless. Every time that I've put in a thing for support that Moses is assigned to, all he does is give a canned answer and then sits on it, then he'll close it out after a few days, even without a response, and so I'll respond back so it gets reopened and be like, you know, hey, and then he'll give me the same canned answer, and it's just like, are you even a person, you know, are you the bot, you know, that just gives canned answers, and that's it, you know? Good Lord, you know, they're severely lacking. Absolutely. And I just downgraded, I contacted them to downgrade my plan from gold to the 2-hour silver.
That's what I got.
Because, you know, I'm barely able to afford afford it as it is. But, and I reached out to them. I'm like, you know, and there's still 3 months left of the 30% off. And so, you know, can you still honor that?
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, they got back to me. And so the next thing you know, I get an email saying that my plan has been, is, you know, scheduled to be canceled at the end of my billing cycle. And so then I reached back out and I'm like, you know, I wanted to be changed over to the silver plan and hopefully retain that discount. Food just arrived. And then, you know, they said, well, you know, Nikita, come on. So they said, you know, so at the end of your, you know, at the end of the filling cycle, it'll be canceled. Once it's canceled, then sign back up for the silver plan. I'm like, I could have done that on my own.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I totally could have done that on my own, guys. You know, I could cancel my plan, but, you know, I'm like, thank you for being so non-helpful. And the discount that I had for a year, 30% off, wasn't limited to just an upgrade, you know, it was any premium plan. And so I'm like, why can't you apply, you know, I got 3 months left of that 30% off. Why can't you apply it?
I had that same.
They're lazy is what it is. They're freaking lazy.
I had that same plan I think 12 months they gave it to me where my, instead of $39, I was paying $27, which was actually pretty good. And that just disappeared on me about 5 months ago, and I'm now paying $39. So, you know, and I keep thinking, you know, I need to get more shows on here, or maybe I can combine some networks and trying to help, you know, help, because I'm the one who's paying for this whole thing. You know, I've got Vince on here, but I'm the one who's paying for it, and it gets difficult at times. It really does. But I don't.
But you know, even then, that violates their terms of use.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not supposed to, you know, like sublease, right? It's like subleasing. I forget how they name it, but. You know, because then that takes money away from them if you have multiple hosts under your account. So you got to be careful of that, because somebody that's pissed off at you, you know, like another host gets pissed off at you, then they could report you for violating the terms of service by, you know, hosts, different hosts under your account.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful there too.
Yeah, you know, like
that's one of the reasons why I got my own account too. It's just because it's mine. Yeah. You know, nobody else's. I don't have to deal with anybody.
Well,
trying
this
to
one,
you know, say that I'm screwing over Blog Talk by having other hosts under me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like with Conservative Nation Media has been around for I think since 2012 or something like that. And I essentially became part of it in 2015, I think, is when they brought me in on it. And then all of a sudden, you know, everything was going really great. We had practically a show on every night of the week. It was really great there for a while, and then everything just started to go away. And about 2018, I was trying to figure out, okay, now why am I the only show left? Nobody ever said anything to me. And so I contacted the guy who supposedly owned this, and I told him, I says, what happened? You know, we had a show on almost every night of the week, and there was a couple of nights where we actually had two shows. And it was really going good. And then I said, if it comes down to money, I can help pay for the monthly thing. He says, no. He says, I don't, you know, we just got burned out and just gave it up. If you want it, you can have it. Well, all the infrastructure was there, and it was already there. So I just took it and started going with it. And I have absolutely no clue what I'm doing. So.
Yeah. You inherited it. Yeah. Interesting. I mean, yeah, when I was I don't know if I've ever, I guess sometimes I'll have to tell you my story about the network that I originally started my show on. So that's a long story. There were reasons why I left it. Because the guy was screwing people over. He was screwing over his hosts, and I just wasn't going to allow myself to continue to be screwed over anymore, you know.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
You know, and I could have totally, like, messed up his whole freaking world if I'd wanted to, you know. He just better be glad that I'm somebody with integrity that could have completely screwed with his world and didn't, just because I'm not that type of person.
You know,
even though he's been screwing me over.
That's one of the reasons why I like having you around, because you do have integrity, and that's a pleasant thing to have around, especially in some of the idiots that I've had to deal with on this show, and the trolls.
No. That's why I had to laugh with, you know, with Warren. When he was like, I'm trying to get Lori Ann to agree to have me co-host their show. And I'm like, what? The first I've heard of it. And second, why the hell would I allow you of all people to co-host my show? You know?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the problems I have, and I'm sure that you guys have noticed, I'll call into your shows and then I don't call. You know, I'll just go into your shows and I'll be in the chat room, but I won't call in. And I'm not really sure what it is.
Yeah, you need to stop doing that, buddy.
I need to stop doing that. But
I can understand it, though, when you're working on the computers and stuff and you're just listening, you know, but, yeah.
Well, there, you know, there
I like it
while.
When people come into the chat, but it's like, but I know that, you know, it's like, hey, I know you're somebody that usually has something to say about stuff. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll start calling in and actually saying something. But, you know, one of the things that I keep thinking about is that I'm going to call in and then say something stupid. And I don't stop.
Well,
to
we
think
all
in.
Say
hell,
something
say
stupid
something,
at some point.
Yeah. Well, I don't stop to think that, well, if I'm going to say something stupid, I've probably already done it on my show. So what's the difference?
Exactly.
So.
I've probably said stupid shit on mine too. And we all do it sometimes, you know, it's no big deal. But then sometimes that's how you get corrected too. So it's like, you know, don't be afraid to be mistaken. You know, you say something and it's wrong and people, you know, give you information and point out that what you said isn't correct. It's that it's wrong, you know, then, hey, you know, learn something new every day, right?
Well, that's one of the things I've noticed is that there are certain people who have a show, and I include myself in this because there have been times I've said something that was just totally off the base wrong, and somebody comes along and say, this is where you were wrong. And if I don't get to apologize for being wrong on that show, I will say it the next time. You know, I'll say, I was talking
yeah.
about this. And I was informed and proven that I was wrong. I'm so sorry for misleading people, but, you know, and then we get other people like our favorite troll who won't admit to nothing. And, you know, there for
oh,
a while,
no, of course not.
He was trying to get me to debate him. I won't debate him. It would be a losing battle no matter what, because no matter what I'd say, if I started getting the best of him, he'd change the subject and then we'd be right back in the same place again. And, you know,
yeah, either that or he puts words in your mouth and deliberately says that you said something that you didn't say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these deflection tactics. Yeah. You know, it's worse than just changing the subject. It's, you know, misrepresenting what you actually said on purpose.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons, you know, and I kept thinking, well, you refuse to debate him, then people are going to think you're a coward. And that's essentially what he called me. He says, you're a coward. You're dishonorable. And I said, well, fine, you can feel that way, but I know better than to get into an argument with somebody you cannot win against. And I said, I wouldn't be able to win, not because you're right, but because you keep changing the subject and keep changing the rules all the time. So I just
exactly. There's no such thing as a fair debate with them. It's impossible, you know.
Yeah. But we're coming up on
it's,
the end.
You know, he's the kind of guy where, you know, you, if you say, okay, you know, let's have a duel and, you know, you can choose, you know, you can choose one weapon and then that's it. You know, you'll comply. You'll only bring one weapon, but he'll be the one that brings five, you know.
And then he'll choose the one he knows is superior to the one you've got.
Exactly. Yeah. Or the combination of it. But yeah, we should probably wrap this up and make our way over to Ron's show eventually here.
Yeah. I'm really glad you were here tonight, Lorianne. It's been a good show. It's been actually kind of quiet, nice. And
yeah.
We got to, you know, do this kind of thing more often, I think. And when I come into your show, I'll call in. And I won't stay quiet. Yes. So. And,
yeah, but I definitely wanted to be, you know, your second chair tonight because I, you know, I thought that maybe because of, you know, Warren's antics and being gone that we might get some of his followers and haters to come and harass you in his absence. And so I definitely wanted to be here to be on guard.
I was thinking the same thing too, but so I was kind of pleasantly surprised that didn't happen. But we had a very informative show out here, I think, tonight. And my thing just quit.
I agree.
So this must be the witching hour for my show. But chat room is still here. My audio files are gone, so I can't even do my ending song, which I kind of like. That Get Out of Denver.
Oh,
by
wow.
Bob
we'll try
Peter.
To wrap it up that. Sooner next time, you know, and not go into overtime to the point where you can't play your ending song or whatever.
Yeah. Well.
But yeah, we'll make our way over. I got food in my lap right now, but I'm going to make my way over to Ron's show, and hopefully you'll tune in on Sunday. It's going to be an open show, pretty similar to last week. And
I will
talk about,
there.
You know, all of this week's tyranny plus whatever. And
there's going to be plenty, I can assure you. So
there always is.
Yeah, God bless you, and I'm glad you were here. And I'll end the show right now, and we're going to head over to the other show. And so we'll see you there, I guess. And
okie dokie.
So God bless you all. Thank you for listening tonight and in the archives when they show up there. And we will be back next week and along Monday through Friday. I will be Monday through Thursday. I'll be doing my updates. Oh, by the way, I've been advertising for you and Beyond the Mainstream and Crazy Nation Radio at the end of my updates during the day too. So,
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And
I invited the gang from, you know, the usual callers from Donnie's show. You know, I invited them to call in, but they must be busy, but oh well.
Yeah. Well, I'll be there. Yeah. Well, I'll end the show now. Let's say God bless America. God bless everyone. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week. God bless you all.
Good night.
Night.
Bye.
Bye. Meow.
Thank you.